Today's show is going to inspire you. It will take you deep into yourself, maybe places you go every day, but also the places within you that you haven't visited in a while. I guarantee, after today's show, you're going to want to invest some time in reflecting. Today, you will hear three questions you need to ask yourself. Three questions to help you unlock your unlimited potential. And please understand, this isn't a rah-rah, let's get excited show. Today, we'll look at some substantive steps that you can take right now to find more joy in your leadership each day. Hello, colleagues, and welcome to the Assistant Principal Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Frederick Buskey. We're all on a leadership journey. Every day we have a chance to grow. Every day we have a chance to help others grow. My goal and the goal of this podcast is to help you grow into being a strategic leader. A leader who puts people before purpose, who solves problems instead of treating symptoms, and who understands the difference between progress and action. Through this podcast, my daily email, and virtual programs, I'm working to build a network of inspired and inspiring school leaders. Let's get started on today's adventure and this unique opportunity to learn to live and lead better. Dr. Brandon Beck epitomizes multifaceted inspiration. As an award-winning teacher and coach, speaker, leadership coach, and author of Unlocking Unlimited Potential, his keynote speeches and storytelling mirror authentic activities, all aiming at one pinnacle: unlocking unlimited potential. Hosting the Unlocking Unlimited Potential Stories Show, he amplifies his passions for inspiring tales. With a doctorate in educational leadership and 19 years of teaching experience, including bilingual education, he embodies diverse expertise. A National Board Certified teacher, leadership coach, and college professor, he's a sought-after keynote speaker at conferences. Beyond education, he's a multi-degrees national trainer, merging social-emotional learning with shelter dogs. Beck's entrepreneurial spirit extends to professional soccer coaching, achieving numerous state, regional, and national triumphs. Brandon, welcome to the show.
I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me on. It has been awesome meeting you, and I'm excited to jump in.
Yeah, we had a good time connecting at a conference a couple weeks ago, the North Carolina Middle Level Educators Conference. So if anybody's in Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, that NCLME conference was a great one. So encourage people to go there. I'm so excited. And I was reading over your bio and I'm like, oh, I got Superman on the show today. But I always like to ask at the beginning, what are you celebrating?
Wow. I'm celebrating so much amazing things that are happening right now in my life. Actually, I'm actually celebrating the life of a very dear person. My brother-in-law, John Conklin, he 3 years ago passed away from cancer at the age of 43. And he was actually one of the major inspirations behind me jumping into this work beyond being a teacher and a leader and a coach. He was the one who really pushed me towards speaking and pushed me towards writing a book. And he was the person who gave me my first Tony Robbins book and Jack Canfield and Bob Proctor and John Maxwell, and one of those people who really, really encouraged my obsession for the development of self-confidence in individuals. And so, yeah, when you talk about celebrating, he was an amazing person who had a story of going through rock bottom but achieved amazing greatness on the other side. And so I'm celebrating John Conklin today.
Brandon, what I love about that is that I think you're modeling for a lot of us who have lost people either recently or further back, but taking those best memories and really thinking about how people that aren't here anymore have positively impacted our lives. I think that's beautiful. I lost my mother-in-law in 2020, and there was a long illness, so there were a lot of challenging moments and challenging things that could be remembered, but I just have such powerful memories of walking into her house and she would just stop everything and say, "Why, Frederick," and welcome me in and make it feel like the only thing that was happening in the world was she and I connecting. She had that just magical ability, and it's brought me so much comfort, but also just joy when I think about her, because I have these specific memories of great ways that she impacted me. So when I think of her, I don't think of the sadness. I don't think of the sickness. I just think about this great piece of her that I guess is still in me.
I think death is a place where there is a lot of reflection, a lot of time where we take a look in the mirror, say, why me? Why them? Why us? And I think a lot of times when, especially working with the educators and the teachers and the coaches and the student athletes that I get to work with, and in the work that I get to do with them, it's about your story, your why, your purpose. And there is always a lot of people who share a death as an experience that they remember that led them to something greater.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's actually the perfect segue into my second question for you, which is there a specific story that you can share that will help listeners understand why you're doing the work that you're doing?
Oof. God, you asking me to share one story is a
I did say one because
I'm a storyteller, man. yeah, absolutely. There is 1,000%. And it's, you know, the reason I'm here. I got into education because I wanted to coach soccer. I was a semi-professional soccer player. And upon graduating college, I was moving to an area of New York outside of New York City that I didn't grow up in. And I was moving to a new place following my now wife. And I needed a job teaching fresh out of college because I realized that the professional, semi-professional soccer career wasn't going to be enough to raise a family in one of the most expensive places in the world. So I had to do something about it. And I always wanted to coach because that was always my passion, to continue to be involved in the game. And so I became a coach, and becoming a coach for 18 years, it became pretty, had a very successful run at it. And while I was being a coach, in addition to coaching high school soccer, I was also running a business that ended up serving about 3,500 families to this day that I get the fortunate opportunity to be a part of and to be one of the leaders of that. And running a business and running a soccer business that's serving all of these people and being a full-time teacher as well. When the pandemic hit, there were no soccer fields to coach on. And so the story that kind of led me to this point was, well, I defended a dissertation back in 2017. I've always talked about this book that I want to write, and the core foundation of my work is about, how do you feel about what you do? Developing self-confidence. That is the core work that I've become obsessed about through my brother-in-law, John Conklin, through the work of my dissertation research with emergent bilingual teachers, and starting to look at areas of work that really made people challenged and wanting to see how the most challenged teachers, the people who threw themselves into the fire, the people who volunteered to jump into these situations with students who usually are considered the ones that are more difficult to teach because of all the various challenges that they have. I've always been inspired by that. And so when the pandemic hit and there were no soccer fields to coach on, I wrote that book, Unlocking Unlimited Potential. And when I wrote that book, I started to be asked to speak about it more. And when I started speaking about it with teachers and with principals and with school leaders, it started to grow and it started to improve and it started to kind of morph into something so much bigger. And then I was started to be asked to work with athletes and coaches. And all of a sudden, all the worlds collided. And here I am now, so fortunate to have the opportunity to share this work in keynotes, in workshops, with a podcast that I've had over 109 guests on, being able to share this work and dig so deep into this work 4 years after writing the book has been just a really remarkable experience. And it's launched my passion to continue to be an educator. I'm still a full-time teacher. I still run that organization. I've just found ways to lead those places and lead that organization so that it can continue to operate while I continue to grow into this speaking profession, which has gotten really exciting and really busy lately.
I think people listening out there are thinking, wow, Brandon's, he's doing so much. He has unlocked his unlimited potential. And that's your mantra, unlocking unlimited potential. So let's talk specifically about that in the context of school leadership. I'm an assistant principal, or maybe an instructional coach, or maybe even the principal. I work hard every day. I work really hard, but I spend big chunks of my time living in the urgent zone. And at the end of the day, I don't really feel like I'm moving my school forward, and I'm not doing enough to help my teachers continue to grow in their craft. So when you talk to me about unlocking my unlimited potential, in that context, what do you mean?
You know, I think it's one of the reasons that educators are so crazy is because of this goal right here. You know, I truly believe that the goal for all educators, the reason why we do this thing, the reason why we believe that we can show up and do this thing every single day is because the ultimate goal, which is to unlock unlimited potential in all whom we serve. Now, that's a tall order. And you don't do that with every single person that you meet every single day, with every single person that you teach. You don't do that, but you try. Mm-hmm. And when you try and you shoot for that and you try to achieve that, it's frustrating and it's limiting, and it can lead to opportunities where you may not believe you're doing all that well because it's a thankless profession. And so from a leadership perspective, I think it's really important that, you know, I always, when I work with leaders, I always show them this picture. And this picture is basically, it's a house on top of a crack and it's leaning into the crack. And actually, as you look at the crack is expanding across the picture. So it gets bigger and wider. And so it's the first question that I use to find out the story about what is happening in the school, what is happening in the athletic program, what is happening in the locker room, what is happening in the classroom. Because the people who look at that picture, you see a story in that picture. And you, then I ask the question is, what is your perception of the energy right now? And so the energy, the perception of the energy is everything, because the story that you tell yourself is the story that you believe, is the story that you're going to believe, whether it's positive or negative. And so I always ask that question. I always show that picture because the language that we use to describe our challenges is extremely important. And so when I say, how does this work with school leadership? It comes back to, you know, well, as a leader, what's your story? What's the story of your building? What's the story of your classrooms? What's the story of the way your people, your teachers come up to you? Do they come up to you and shake your hand every day or give you a fist bump every day? Or do they run the other direction and look straight down at the floor? I think it all begins with, How do you feel about your perception of your leadership? Because the journey always begins with you.
Brandon, I love this, and I love the way that you frame that. And I want to go back. You talked about goals and really working at our goal of unleashing other people's unlimited potential. And yet that can be a really hard thing to do. So I want to go back to that, but first think about language, and it's so powerful. And one of the things I've tried to really do as I develop my frameworks for urgent leadership versus strategic leadership is be really intentional about how I talk about time, because there are places we spend time, there are places we invest time. And so just saying things like, I spent time with my kids. I don't spend time with my kids. I invest time with my kids. And so those little pieces of language are so important. And just, I'm looking back here at the way I framed that question to you. And so what's the narrative that you probably saw that right away, right? I'm that principal. And what's the story I'm telling myself? I'm stuck in urgency. I'm driven by that urgent things that are in my face instead of being purposeful. I'm focused on time instead of priorities. And I'm just action, 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 and not as conscious about progress. But I'm telling myself my own story. So I always like to teach techniques, and my book's about stages of getting from urgent to strategic. But I think you're putting a piece of the puzzle there that I hadn't thought about as much, which is, it's not just what we do, but it is the narrative that we're telling ourselves the whole time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes with every human, right? Because even if you go back and you even trace it to like the research from any self-efficacy, any self-confidence, anybody who has talked about worth of self, it all comes back to that. It all comes back to that story that you tell yourself, that narrative that you write. And a lot of times we write the narrative ahead of what's really happened with that language. And often the negative is more powerful than the positive, because the negative is more easy, because it's doubt. It's that idea, that new strategy, that new connection, that new thing you want to try. What often happens is it's so easy and so quick for you to be able to say, well, no, that won't work. Or no, I couldn't do that. Maybe I could do that next week. Or maybe we could do that next year when we have more time, right? And so what happens is we start to stack up these excuses, and we start to thought stack, and we start to stack these thoughts on top of each other. And as a stack gets taller and taller and taller, it becomes a mountain. And that is not the mountain that we want our negative thoughts to be on, because we are always going to experience peaks and valleys. But if you're stacking up your peaks with negative thoughts, then all you are experiencing is valleys.
So I think there's two ways we could go here. So one is that we can try to convince people that what you're saying is true, right? That narrative, that self story is so dominant and drives so much of what we do, even if we're not conscious. Well, we're usually not conscious, right? That's part of the issue. We're not conscious of the story we're telling ourselves. So we could invest time trying to convince people that that's true. But I'm going to ask the audience and listeners, just assume this is true, because you are your story. And you act out your story. So we'll take what Brandon and I are saying for the gospel. So let's dive then into the second place that we could go, which is rewriting that story. So I'm listening. I'm that administrator, that leader that's overwhelmed. And I'm realizing, yeah, I have this narrative of can't do. I have this narrative of I can't break this cycle and I'm stuck here. I need to rewrite my story. I know that's probably a full workshop and this is a short podcast, but what's my first step? What is the step that is going to help me begin the hard work of reframing how I talk about and think about my leadership?
Yeah. Amazing question. And that is actually exactly what I get to do when I work with leaders. And that is a keynote. That's a workshop. So I'm going to give you three things instead of one. So there's three things that you need to do. And it starts with you first. And this is also something that can be done once you've owned it. You can then be able to share it and do it with others. But it starts with you. So there's three things you need to focus on. You need to start, and you need to take that moment to reconnect back to all of this, because your story is connected to your why, and your story and your why are connected to your purpose. So the reason you are having negative thoughts is because you do not have clarity in purpose. Period. End of story. I mean, you wrote the book Reclaiming Purpose, right? I see you nodding your head. You agree. So yep. What I'm trying to say is, it starts with identifying those pieces, because what happens is we get so far away from the reason why we do things, because we get so caught up in the day to day, and we often don't take those moments to reconnect. So it starts with reconnecting that. So three things to do. One, identify those defining moments. What are the reason? Go back to that first day you jumped into education, that you jumped into this job, that you jumped into being a teacher, because, well, all assistant principals were teachers first. So let's start with that. And why did you do it? What's the story behind it? Were your parents teachers? Were you really inspired by something that happened in school? And then I'm going to ask you to think about, well, what was the second thing, what was your school experience like? Because that's the one right there that usually when you start to root in and think about that, you've gotten so far away from your school experience because you were in school 20, 30, 40 years ago. And so when you take the moment to identify that and you think about your school experience, you think about those teachers, you think about the great teachers, you think about the really bad teachers, you think about the times you enjoyed in school, you think about the times you didn't enjoy school. I'm one of those speakers that had a tough go at it in school. Sports was something that saved me and saved my life in school. That's right. Part of the reason you see why I do what I do.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that, because I was actually at the conference I referenced. I was in your session and you asked that question, and you asked it of people to think about. And it was remarkable in the room, the different experiences that people had. And I know that I went back and connected and had some really visceral emotions. All my time in school wasn't great. And I think really encourage people to follow through on that, because you will have these powerful emotions and memories, and it will help you think about what you want to be for kids. But also in that, realize that everybody's experiences vary in some way. So just because you had a certain set of experiences, and that starts to help focus you, understand that other people had different experiences. Some people hated school, some people loved school.
Absolutely. And inside of you being an educator, your school experience is so critical to think about, because that is the reason that is the story behind why you jumped into this profession in the first place. It's the whole story. And the third part of it is, okay, now that you've thought about your identifying moments, the reasons why, it could have been something that happened to you as a kid. It could have been that moment where one of those great things happened where you knew that was it. I'm going to become a teacher. Maybe you used to set up your dolls and teach them. I had a lot of people that do that, that talk about that as well. The next part is, okay, who are your role models? Look at those teachers. Look at your parents. Look at all those people who use teaching tools to help you learn something or achieve something. And now start writing down, what are those things? What are those qualities that they had? A lot of times it's they made learning fun. A lot of times it's they made their job look easy, or they made you feel like you could climb to the top of Mount Everest in a day, even though you had no chance of getting there. And so that it's interesting that it's funny that you say that, because that's what happens in these workshops. That's what happens when you ask these three questions, is when you start to share them with other people, people immediately become more positive. That's why when someone walks into one of my sessions, I'm always like, you're going to walk out of that door positively influenced today because of these. And I know it's because of these conversations. It's because of getting people to share. When I show up and I speak, whether I do a keynote with a room full of hundreds of people or it's with 10 people, I am not the only person getting on that microphone. And I think that's essential, because that's like the game changer. Once you start to see that people in your space are sharing their stories, chances are 90% of the people in the room didn't know those stories, or didn't know or hear them before. I've seen tears. I've done this before I actually had someone who was taught by a person who was a principal in the room. And it was like, you get to see these moments of connection, and all of a sudden it's like fireworks. Because yes, what is it that we're firing up? We're firing up our belief, our confidence in ourselves. We're developing that unshakable confidence, because that is the power. That is the fire. That is the oxygen, the fuel. That is everything in that heat that goes into play. Those are those pieces that keep the fire burning, because if that fire is not burning, then you're not going to wake up and be able to snap out of your sadness about something happening in your life. You're not going to be able to show up knowing that you may be losing someone, or you may have lost someone. You're not going to be able to show up and snap out of that so that you can show up for the kids, for your staff, for those you serve. And so I always tell people to, hey, finish my sentence. What's your purpose after going through all this? My purpose is to inspire people to believe that their potential is unlimited. That is written big on my wall. I look at it every single day, multiple times. I encourage you to do the same.
So I'm loving, I'm going back to earlier, something you said, that which is our goal generally is to unlock unlimited potential. That's why we get in the profession. And, you know, maybe it's with high school kids or middle school kids or soccer players, but that's our goal. But the reality is there is going to be limited success. So we can't rely on the success. We can't rely on having success to drive us. And so what we have to rely on is going back and reconnecting. And I love the flow of those three things that we need to do: identifying the defining moments, looking at your experience in school. I think that's such a great twist. And then who our role models are. And it occurs to me what we're doing is we're connecting to our why, but then we're also connecting to our who. And then that leads us to connecting to how. And so this isn't just a kind of cerebral or emotional exercise, right? This leads you, because when you go back to those mentors, you're now grounding in the who, which is emotional, but also the how, which moves us into the technical, the execution. So, wow, these are cool.
And it works for students as well. You know, so when you talk about the unlocking unlimited potential, or the staff, right? When you talk about unlocking unlimited potential, story, why, purpose? Well, you have a student who is struggling. You have a staff member who is struggling. What's the story? Okay. Why do we need to establish this standard as their need right now? I work with a lot of students that are bilingual. We do this a lot in terms of when you look at a student, that student may have came to the country in the last 2 to 4 years, and their fluency may not be that great in English. However, their fluency in Spanish is phenomenal. So I know that that student, the story behind that student, I know that that student knows how to read fluently, just doesn't know English. That's the story. So when I'm selecting a standard of learning for that student, I'm going to select a standard. I don't need to select the fluency in English standard because that'll come through phonetics. That'll come through phonics. That'll come through all that vocabulary work that I'm doing. I can work into another place and use the other language as a strength. And so that helps me determine why I need to do what I need to do. And then I establish that goal with that student. Same for a staff member. Same for a staff member. What is the story behind why that observation didn't go very well?
Well, yeah, I love that. And I think about, you know, a lot of administrators, especially if you're new, one of the challenges is veteran teachers. And the thing about veteran teachers is they have a lot of stories. And so they may have the kind of origin story about why I started doing this, but then there are lots of stories that pile onto that, and a lot of them can be really painful and negative. And so one of the things that we can do in working with our veteran teachers is don't go in and try to make them a better teacher. Go in and learn the story, right? Learn about who they are. And in the process of asking these kinds of questions that you just laid out, learning who they are, we are actually helping them reconnect to their purpose without us saying, oh, I'm going to come in and help you. I'm going to fix you. No, I'm going to learn about you and ask these powerful questions because I want to learn. But in that process, I'm also giving you a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. And understanding why each of those educators is still in the classroom right now. Well, some of them might be, well, I have 3 years left, right? That's not a great mentality. But once you start to see why they are like that, why they are feeling that, well, you're going to learn and start to develop a bit of empathy. And when you're developing a bit of empathy, you can operate and develop goals and develop connections to that person, because at least you've taken the time to show that you care about the story. Because if you show that you care about the story, it goes back to that ultimate goal. That's why you got into this profession in the first place. You didn't get into this profession to do observations. I'm sorry. You didn't get into this profession to fill out paperwork and to design MTMSS frameworks and follow protocols. You didn't. You got into this profession. You moved on from being a teacher to an administrator, to a school leader, because you wanted to lead the adults. And those adults require a different kind of skills than those students do. And in order for you to understand that, you have to be able to make those connections. People talk about it all the time. No matter what speaker you go and watch, whether they are the most popular speaker or the speaker who's never spoken in front of anybody before, they will all tell you relationships matter. Relationships matter. We are in the people business. We are about making relationships. Well, you can't make one single relationship in your life without knowing the other person's story.
This has been awesome. I think we're going to start to tie that up there because it's just such a powerful thing to leave with. We have to learn our own story, reconnect with our own story, and then learn the stories of others. And I guess if people listening take nothing else away from this podcast, go back and look at your own story, look at the why, look at your experience, and look at your who, and then the how from the who. Do that and start asking people about their origin stories. Ah. All right, I'm excited. I'm ready to go into a school and start talking to people right now. All right, so you're unlocking unlimited potential. What I always frame this is, what part of your own leadership are you trying to get better at? But I'm going to reframe it to, what part of your potential are you still trying to unlock?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that. One of the things that I work through a lot is understanding that with all of this work, with all of this stuff that I do, with all of the research, with all of the opportunities to work with people from all over the country, focusing on this idea of self-confidence. One thing that's important for you all to understand is that I do not believe that I am the person who is the most confident person in the world, and that I am not perfect. And I think that it's important for everyone to understand, especially if I'm getting vulnerable here, you know, the pandemic was an opportunity, but it was also a moment in our lives that led to a lot of loss. And I think the pandemic has really shifted a lot. As someone being an educator who's currently teaching 10 and 11 year old kids in a fifth grade dual language program in Westchester County, New York, our kids have really experienced some challenging times. And this is where I am the most challenged, because I take home a lot of it with me. I take home the some of the challenges that these kids are having in their own homes, and that I really have no control over. But that's what we do as educators. And we sometimes care about other kids more than we actually see our own kids. And I think that that is sometimes really challenging. So there's kind of two things in there. For one, it's not allowing the things that I can't control to bother me as much. That's number one. And the second thing is finding that balance, right? I am a busy person. A lot of these things require a lot of my energy and a lot of my efforts. Is finding that balance as a father of three girls, 3, 10, and 13, and finding that balance between continuing to speak to educators, but also continue to run a business where I am responsible for coaching coaches to provide quality service and quality youth soccer programs for many people. So I would say that those are the two things that I work on, because I am the first person to tell you that a doctorate degree and a national board certification and written a book and speaking to all of these people, I'm the first person to tell you that every day I still have to show up. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where everybody understands that it's a day-to-day grind for all of us out there. And I believe in this work. I know this work works because I've had the opportunity to work with hundreds of athletes and hundreds of educators recently that have seen tremendous progress and seen opportunities to really make shifts. And that's why I really like working with athletes, because you can, the result is directly relevant, because you either see they win or they lose. And I know that that's not only determinant of our success of the work that I do, but when I do see a team win outside of just the results, when I see them win in the locker room, when I see that their leaders come back happier, it's immediate, because that's just really interesting about student athletes. They only have a short period of time where they have to get their act together, or it doesn't necessarily work. And being able to see that immediate change or that immediate shift or that transformation has been super, super powerful. And sometimes in education, we don't see those shifts so quickly. So that's just been something that's really been unique about the whole experience for me.
Yeah. So Brendan, that's a good segue again. And can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing? People are inspired. They want to learn more about your work, maybe read the book. What are you doing, and where can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually currently writing my second book right now, which is going to be out in most likely June is what I'm shooting for right now. And I'm excited about that. It is the next book in the Unlocking Unlimited Potential series, and it's about five principles. And I've really taken the opportunity to break it, all of this down. And one, I think we talked today about the second chapter primarily, which is turn your story into power. And I think that that's really been amazing. And it's been exciting because I speak to teachers, I speak to school leaders, and I also speak to students, athletes, and coaches. And my Turn Your Story Into Power program is something that I am super excited that I have launched in the past 2 months that has seeked tremendous results and positive reviews that I've been super excited about. And it's taking athletic programs, it's taking schools, it's committing to schools, not just for a one-off keynote, but actually having the opportunity to be able to connect further throughout a whole school year, which is something that I really, really am excited about because I'm not really, as much as I like doing a keynote, and I do, I love doing the keynote. I love being on a stage in front of a lot of people with their exciting events. I do love that. What I really love is being able to continually serve a group or an organization and have that connection and develop that long-term relationship. And so that Turn Your Story Pro into, I can't even speak today, that Turn Your Story Into Power program, all that information and everything about me can be found on my website, brandonbeckedu.com. And so that is where you can find everything. My podcast is still up and going to be past 109. I think I have like 120 in the bank right now. So we're going to continue to keep those podcasts going. And it's just excited to continue to work with all of these avenues of education. And I'm excited about a very busy summer.
Awesome. And of course, we'll have links to your website in the show notes if anybody wants to do that. I encourage people to go on over and see what you're offering and see, you know, everything you've got. We've been known each other, I think, for about 3 weeks now and just striking up a great friendship. So I certainly value you and really appreciate what you bring in. And I think that came across to listeners today. Brennan, it's been so awesome to have you on. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you and I appreciate the work you're doing. It is, as a fellow podcaster, I know that this work does not take 5 minutes off camera. So I appreciate that. And anybody who dedicates themselves to creating podcasts for educators is someone who I think is super inspiring. So I appreciate what you're doing as well, brother.
All right. Thank you. And we'll reconnect very soon. Cheers. What a powerful interview. I told you at the top of the show that this would be inspiring, and I certainly hope it was for you. Please make sure to find time to invest in some reflection so that you can consider these three questions. What are your defining moments? What was school like for you? Who are your role models, and what did they do that inspired you? These three questions will help you go back to the beginning of your leadership journey, but also pave the way for the future of your leadership journey. Leadership is a journey, and thank you for choosing to walk some of this magical path with me. You can find links to all sorts of stuff in the show notes, including my website at frederickbuskey.com. I love hearing from you, so consider emailing me at frederick@frederickbuskey.com or connecting with me on LinkedIn. My new book, A School Leader's Guide to Reclaiming Purpose, is now available on Amazon. You can find links to it as well as free book study materials on my website at frederickbuskey.com/reclaiming-purpose. That's frederickbuskey.com/reclaiming-purpose. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Have a great rest of your week. Be present for others. And more importantly, take time to reflect and recover so you can continue to live and lead better. Cheers.